This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality. The best of both worlds. Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
This is Triple Bypass. We acknowledge that we broadcast on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and pay our respects to elders past, present and future. We also pay our deepest respects to the brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community.
Stories to tell. I see both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. Swimming laps through pool water. Eating like I'm underworld. Had my tattoos in Shibuya. Police think I'm of the underworld. 12 treat a nigga like he 12. How you looking up to me and talking down? Can't you see I am the big man? God level, I am the I am. I film it with the drone cam in the pink like Killer Cam.
Zoom on that stick, no way.
I'm so close, I'm on that kill.
Controller on your lower back, yeah, that's the good. Dick will roll the eyes back in the skull.
Rolling when you ride, popping. Rolling when you ride, ride to ride. Got one street acting, turned up like some dirty plastic. 2016, burn some discs. 2017, ideas playing off of Walgreens. This a cult, not a click on the net. With a cup in a cup, activist. That's a double edge, it's a knife. And I don't like to fight till I'm fighting. Revenge in the air makes my lungs sick. Chopper in the sky like a gun trick. Clips on clips like Mike. It's really all. I see both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. It's really you on my mind. It's really you on my mind. It's really you. It's really you. My mind.
Need both sides of the 12s. Need both sides of the L. Free smoke rings in their hell. Sleet snow grind for the well. Whole team diamonds is real. Show them how to shine by themselves. You need a cosign for your hell. I need that bitch to grind on my belt. I know you need to drive for my belt. I know you see the drive in itself. No matter like on the ride cause it's stale. But it's stale. I see both sides like Chanel. I see both sides like Chanel.
My pocket's snug. They can't hold my 7. They ban my Visa. My Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapse. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I'm in my baby boy, amazing the cash online unknown. I'm in my baby boy, blazing the dash, got money at home. My pocket snug, they can't hold my 7. They ban my Visa, my Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapse. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I'm in my baby boy, amazing the cash online unknown. I'm in my baby boy, blazing the dash, got money at home.
That's right. You have tuned in to Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9. That was Chanel by Frank Ocean. Dreamy tune. This is Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And you've tuned in for the B's in the LGBTIQA+ acronym. We're here to bring you all the multi-gender attraction you could possibly want, possibly more than you'd want. But just tell us, we're cool, we're down with consent. It's totally fine.
Well, we do bring you all the
BiPan multi-gender attracted news each week.
And we do. That's what we're here to do right now. So first, bi news. Actor Ryan Reynolds says he wants to explore the bisexuality of Deadpool in future films based on the character, which is very exciting. So this came about during a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, which is the major Comic-Con. And he said that he hoped that Deadpool would be able to actually explore some of that side of his sexuality. Preferably, I would like to be with Spider-Man because I've seen a lot of fan art in my day and it just does it for me. It works. It just, in my opinion. But I think it'd be really interesting to see, though, given Deadpool's, like, you know, vivacity, I just hope it, and I do trust Ryan Reynolds, actually, surprisingly. Don't trust a whole lot of cishet white dudes who want to explore bisexuality. Him, I reckon he might do it without being completely gross. Fingers crossed.
Well, yeah, sorry. I'm thinking about Spider-Man and superheroes and capes and bisexuality.
And yeah. You're just having a good old time.
It all works.
It's like Radiothon all over again. Well, that's the thing, because, you know, Ryan Reynolds in the first movie, have you seen Deadpool, Anthony?
I have not.
I suspected as much. So I was preparing my answer in advance.
I watched the footy. Come on, I live in Melbourne. Get with it.
I go for Melbourne. It's been a disappointing life. But yeah, so in the movie, you know, they had this whole montage in the first one with Ryan Reynolds and with Wade Wilson or Deadpool and his girlfriend, and they were celebrating each holiday with, like, having sex. And for International Women's Day, he got pegged. And I was just like, I love that this is on a mainstream film. Right. Please, guys, please, I mean, if you want to, that could be fun.
Right.
And yeah, so that was in other celebrity news. Jason Mraz basically came out. People were questioning him about a letter he wrote on billboards, which he was thanking the LGBTQ community for their strength and perseverance. And he ended the letter by writing, "We still have a long way to go, but know that I am by your side always." And yes, it was a BI. And so he was, people asked him and he confirmed that he has had attraction to multiple genders. And he hadn't realised the letter was going to be so telling. It's like, really, buddy? You didn't see? But he says when he was dating a woman and then he experienced with men, he's like, well, does this mean I'm gay? But then this is where it got a little problematic. The wife was like, oh, it's two-spirit, which is what Native Americans call someone who can love both men and women. That's not what two-spirit means. Do you remember when we had Shawnee on the show?
Loved that.
That incredible Mohawk person from Canada who is, you know, part of the Native American groups around there. And two-spirit, of course, is a very cultural term and it has to do with Native American culture and spirituality, and it is about the idea of holding both masculine and feminine energy inside of yourself. So it's kind of like, you know, one of the many examples of non-binary people within different cultures. It does not mean bisexuality. It's also also Jason Mraz is never going to be a two-spirit person.
Right, and I wonder if that's what people do, non-bi people do when they hear the word bisexual. They make it something different. They attach new meanings to it to sort of, so it lands somewhere.
Just try and find something else, like just find another
way. Right, anything but bisexual.
Oh, no, sweetheart, it's okay. You're not one of those. You've also got, there was another statement that came out recently from a quite well-known, well, we thought she was well-known and bisexual. That was Margaret Cho, who we've actually had on the show before.
Yes, and Margaret Cho, who did come on Triple Bypass, it was one of the only shows she did while she was here in Australia. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, because we're pretty cool. And she...
I lost my shit.
Right, you did. That interview... jump onto joy.org.au/triplebypass. Go to our earliest... One of our
just
earlier shows.
Just Margaret Cho and then just listen to me speak so quickly.
Listen to Ruby's voice quiver throughout the interview.
I sound like Alvin the Chipmunk.
It was very cute.
Oh, my gosh.
But Margaret Cho... And don't forget, internationally, June is Pride Month for a lot of countries in the world. And
July is Wrath.
Right. So the HuffPost reported a story on Margaret Cho who said, "Nobody has ever really accepted that I'm truly bisexual. Nobody has ever allowed it. It's still very much a point of argument between anybody that I've been with. People just don't accept it." That was said in June this year. This is Margaret Cho, who's done multiple interviews about bisexuality. It's been in her stand-up routines. She's unapologetically bisexual, and all of a sudden she still can't get it through people's thick heads.
But also, like, I can't imagine, well, you know, actually I can imagine because it's been, you know, my life, but the idea of, like, your partner as well, just, like, not acknowledging that, and I think that does come from the idea of jealousy and the idea of, no, I don't want you to be bisexual because then I've got twice as much competition and all that. But, you know, I just don't think, I don't think I could be with anybody who wasn't, like, who would not acknowledge a part of me, because they wouldn't be with me. You know, it's a huge part. Right. I mean, obviously it's a huge part of my identity. I literally talk about it on the radio once a week and do many other things. But, yeah, I just think that refusal to actually, like, accept your partner's, like self-determination is, for me, would just be a non-starter. It's a deal breaker.
Well, it's well said, because if it's not acknowledged, it becomes such an impactful and hurtful thing. And if it is acknowledged, then it doesn't become such a huge feature of the relationship. It doesn't have to get in the way of other discussions, even though we're going to just show.
I mean, like, I get, look, every, it does with me.
Right.
Everyone's like, you know, you've got to choose where we're going to go. No, you can't let me choose. It's biphobic.
Right. But you know what
the
I mean.
Restaurants and everything of my life.
When things are accepted and you know that you are loved and received and celebrated, and actually accepted is a horrible word. If they're celebrated and affirmed, then they don't become a fight. It doesn't become something you constantly have to wrestle with your partner.
And we celebrate and affirm you, listener, always, in all things. And if you want to let us know how, if you've had an issue with partners, maybe, you can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. As always, you can find us on Facebook, A Triple Bypass on Joy. You can find us on Instagram, where I am irregularly updating slowly on Triple Bypass Joy, and on Twitter, Triple Bypass. Those are all, again, with the eyes. We're going to be joined after this next song by Mary Glascott, who is currently has been doing some research into bisexuality, particularly around senses of belonging. And I'm really excited to talk about that.
Me too.
And that'll be after this next song coming up, which is a bit of a controversial choice, which we'll get into after the break. Girls, Rita Ora, Cardi B, Bebe Rexha, and that one's not been finished. We'll be right back after the song. Stay tuned. You're listening to Triple Bypass, and this is Joy 94.9.
Girls, 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 girls
definitely bringing you more of your community with that one. That was Girls by Rita Ora particularly and a whole host of other people. I'm actually going to... Sorry. I don't know them. I feel so old. Anyway, this is Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And this is Dual Bypass. We're the Bisexuals here on Joy 94.9. And we are now joined in the studio live by Mary Glascott.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining us. Mary, you are a bi-academic, and that was a song that you picked. And I was quite excited because I've talked about this song on the radio before, or particularly what happened around the song. And we're going to jump into all the exciting research you're doing and why it's so important and what you found out. But first, let's sip some tea because I really want to talk about this.
I need the hot tea.
Oh, my God, yes. All right, so... After this song came out, Hayley Kiyoko, who've also played on the station, who is, you know, who is a lesbian, spoke out against the whole song. And also it's by Cardi B, Charlie XCX and Bebe Rexha.
I think so. Sounds right.
They've got a lot of X's in their names. I'm not used to it. I'm really sorry. But she was like writing on Twitter how the song was outright harmful for the community by basically saying... Every so often there come certain songs with messaging that is just downright tone deaf, which does more harm than good for the LGBTQ plus community. A song like this just fuels the male gaze on marginalizing the idea of women loving women. I don't need to drink wine to kiss girls. I've loved women my entire life. This type of message is dangerous because it completely belittles and invalidates the very pure feelings of an entire community. And so in response to that, Rita posted that, you know, it was written to represent her truth and is an accurate and very real and honest experience of her life, and that she has had romantic relationships with women and men throughout her life, and that's part of her personal journey, and how she's really sorry if the song has hurt anybody and she would never intentionally cause harm to the community, and that she hopes to express herself through art and she's always tried to be a contributor to the community through her entire career and always will be. And I guess, like, I felt, when I read that, I just felt really... Because, you know, she sings, I'm 50-50, always will be. Like, she's pretty... But she was, like, forced to drag... She was dragged out of the, like, you know, and forced to, like, out herself...
Yeah, totally.
...publicly because a lesbian thought that it was not pure enough.
Just one another... Yet another example of monosexual people trying to make bi people feel guilty for existing.
Right. I did. It was that sense of just, like, a lesbian deciding that we're not... the right kind of queer.
Yep.
And that, and like, also, you know, they're like, you know, I didn't need to drink to knew I like girls. I'm like, that's fine. But a lot of bi women, because of attitudes like this, that's their only way to kind of express.
Totally. And it's a whole nother level of shame. So I feel like, considering all the backlash she got, I really wanted to give her another platform and celebrate bi culture because it's a great song and honestly it's a banger. Yep.
And I remember even in The Guardian someone's like, you know, like Rita got bisexuals all wrong and I'm bisexual. I'm like, but so she didn't get them all wrong.
Yeah, she's not claiming to represent every bi person's experience.
No, and no one ever could. And I think, but that's the issue, because when you get marginalised groups, one person suddenly is a stand-in for all of us and everything that they're showing that is wrong. And just, anyway, it is a really good song. I was really happy to hear it. And I hope Rita Ora is feeling all right. And I wish Hayley would just calm it down a little bit because her fans get real nasty on Twitter.
It's all love out here.
It is. And like, I think it is that kind of, again, example of the kind of policing that does go around about how bi women are allowed to explore. Because, you know, the male gaze is a problem.
Of course.
It definitely is. But that affects us more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because we go and date those guys. Sometimes. Yeah.
Mm. And it sort of delegitimizes bisexuality for women when we think about the male gaze and that women perform sexual behaviors or romantic behaviors for the pleasure of the male viewer, then it's really harmful and problematic for all sorts of reasons.
And it can be an internalized message as well, I feel, because, like, you know, often when you're younger and when you're socialized as a girl growing up, a male attention is, like, you know, the sole definer of your worth a lot of the time. So if that's the way that you've been told you can get it, because it doesn't really occur, like, when I was growing up, the only bisexual representation was dudes talking about pornography and girls in porn. Yeah. That was all we had. Right. You know, it wasn't... But that's changing, and we're going to find out how, because as far as senses of belonging, that's what you're all about, Mary.
Yeah, that's right.
So please tell us about this research project you've been doing.
I'd love to. So basically... I study psychology. I've done a 4-year degree in psychology and I'm really interested in research in general. So I approached an academic at my university who is gay and told him that I would really like to talk to bi people So I chose to do a qualitative study, which is basically going around interviewing bio people. And this type of research is really special because the information comes directly from the source. You don't have a questionnaire where they have to respond in a little box from selected options.
Yeah.
People will tell you exactly what they feel contributes to their identity experiences. So basically what we were looking at is bisexual people's feelings of inclusion and exclusion, both within mainstream society, so heterosexuals, and within the broader LGBTI community.
So, Mary, can I ask this focus, and I know it's not a sort of box in terms of people needing to sort of answer in a particular way. You're inviting people in to sort of share their experiences that are connected to inclusion or exclusion. Where did the motivation to look at that particular theme come from?
Yeah. So, honestly, I feel like it definitely came from my own identity experience. So, you know, younger, typical story, knew I was multigendered attracted, so gravitated towards pansexual to begin with. Basically, the short story of it was, ended up getting in a same-sex relationship, felt a lot of pressure to converge to a monosexual identity, so a lesbian identity, then came out as bi when I got with my heterosexual cis male partner and really experienced a new sense of exclusion, both from monosexual peers, so the more gay and lesbian types, and from my straight friends. So I really wanted to then quantify that. And a big issue in academic literature in the queer realm is that there's hardly none for bi people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really limited.
Yeah.
There's obviously a massive uptick in research for our community, but a lot of it's to do with gay people, lesbian people. Then there's a bit less to do with bi people, a bit less to do with gender diversity.
And it's often not really looking at a difference in experience, just kind of trying to fit a bisexual experience into the kind of gay and lesbian or just generally monosexual framework, which again creates the idea of it being a half-half identity.
Yeah, exactly. And bisexuality is clearly a very different experience to being monosexual.
Yeah.
And bisexual people experience disproportionately more mental health issues than our queer counterparts, so gay and lesbian people. So there's really specified needs there that need to be addressed. Through research like this, we can identify, well, what do we do good for our community? What do others do that's good for us? And what do they do that's not so good? Because then you can kind of create a manual for organisations at a systemic level and even just for your peers, for your family, for your friends.
He's had to help my, like, validate my identity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And did anything come out of that, like, before we go to the next song, were there any, could you give me, like, one example of things that you kind of found surprising and what was being done well?
I found that people find that, they find, like, things, I don't know, this is kind of going to be a bit negative, but they find the littlest things a positive experience. So just if you bring up your bisexuality and people don't say anything, that's a positive experience for bi people.
Yeah.
And that's what Anthony was saying before.
I get that, yeah.
It's acceptance, but it's not celebration. So,
but that's like, but we're happy for that.
Yeah. So I guess it's a positive, but it's not good enough at the moment.
The bar's set real low.
Yeah, totally, because when you say bisexual, what we don't want is those curious eyes searching for another word or way to understand what you've just said. Like, what is it that you're telling me here?
Yeah.
You know, so that's not what we don't want. That's what we don't want.
And I think, you know, we kind of, we shouldn't underestimate the fact that we do pick up on, like, the slight body movements and, like, the slight signs of what I've said has not hit well with you.
But we kind of pick up on the yelling and the swearing at us too. You know? That subtly comes through at times.
It does. But I think it's interesting because, like, I know whenever I've gone to conferences or to talks and that, you know, the community starts talking, like, you know, let's talk about, we need to address homophobia and transphobia. And there's always that sense of, like, are they going to say it? No.
Yep, exactly.
Colour me unsurprised. But, you know, and there's that sense of, like, you still kind of just can't help but, like, come on, guys, this time.
Mm, yeah.
And then when one of them does, it's like this massive celebration. Even though, you know, it should be a standard thing.
Of course.
We are going to jump to the next song, which is You and I, the radio edit by Lady Gaga, another wonderful bi babe. But before that, we did get a message in. Hey team, Mary, when can we expect the research to be finished and how we'll be able to read, share and find it? It's great that you're focusing on this area, as you said, that it's not off covered often enough. I look forward to seeing how the research pans out. It is now, particularly around the mental health area. Good luck from Kiki. Thanks, Kiki.
Well, that's a loaded question because that really depends on me because it's my research and I don't have help at the moment. So hopefully I am quite motivated. I'm still in the early stages, but you can expect it probably early next year. And I will be really focused on disseminating it because that's the only way it's going to have an impact. So,
yeah, fantastic. We'll plan it out soon.
And you won't be doing it all by yourself.
No,
not with some help. Okay, that's enough. We're going to go to a song now. This is Triple Bypass. I said as I made the last one. And you're listening to Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Mary Glascott, a bi researcher.
It's been a long time since I came around. Been a long time, but I'm back in town. This time I'm not leaving without you. You taste like whiskey when you kiss me. I would give anything again to be your baby doll. I'm not leaving without you.
Hi, good, thanks. This is Effie, and you're listening to Melbourne's most uplifting music mix on Joy 94.9. How ace is this?
It's by Effie. It's very by.
Yeah, no, aces are cool too. You've tuned into Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That was You and I by the very bisexual Lady Gaga. My name's Libby.
And I'm Anthony.
And we have been chatting with Mary Glascott, a self-determined bi researcher who's been doing some qualitative, that's the one with the talking as opposed to the numbers, qualitative data on looking at how bisexual people are feeling included or like senses of belonging, whether it's there or whether it's not. So she can help basically develop frameworks to give to people and families and friends who want to be able to make sure that their multigender attracted peers, family members, friends feel like their identity is being validated.
Right. It's very important work. And Mary, we're thrilled to have you on the show because bi researchers are quite revered here in our community because they're giving us some very important information to be able to be taken seriously as a bi community.
Mm-hmm. And we're out here to broadcast it into the world.
Yes.
If you've actually found any particular studies or if you didn't know that there were studies about bisexuality or if you just like to come and say hi, you can message us on 0427-JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au like Ash did, who basically just said, hello, Melbourne bisexuals. Thank you, Ruby and Anthony.
Thank you, Ash.
Thanks, Ash.
So, Mary, can I ask, I always think of researchers, particularly around doing qualitative research, to be kind of like therapists, because I hear this from other researchers as well, because you must get all sorts of disclosures, and I'm just wondering about, and you also have a lived experience as a bi person who may or may not be able to relate to some of the comments that are being made. What's that like, just to be able to sit in such an, does it feel like an intimate space when these stories are being shared with you by bi people?
Oh, of course. You really are listening to some of the most hurtful experiences in some cases that people have gone through. And for me, it has been a bit emotional, you know, a couple of times distinctly. I remember leaving my university and feeling like a little glum, to be honest. You know, I can relate, and then there's some that I can't.
Do you get debriefed?
Yeah, so my supervisor is great, so sometimes I'll talk with him. But it's also just more of the reality of it all, you know, because it can be really easy to feel a bit isolated to the community, especially for me, you know, being in a heterosexual relationship, being very straight passing, as some people might call it.
Yep.
Not being super duper involved with any type of queer community. So it's really confronting reality, but I always just have to remind myself that, you know, the research is for the better.
Yeah.
It's for the greater good.
We need you. We need it.
And also, you know, of course, like, and I think that's why, because of course there are bi communities, it's just a matter of, you know, invisibility and mass is still invisible. So there is, I think that's one of the reasons why there's a lot of creation now of online spaces and things that people are trying to do to find each other. Because, yeah, I think, as actually someone who on Facebook was just recently talking about the way that, you know, the idea of queer aesthetic and how those queer spaces are, if they are accessible, and people who can't get into them and how do they feel. And one group that they actually did mention was like, you know, if you're an introverted, if you're like, you know, if you're bi, I'm just like, and a lot of people are just like, oh my God, I'm bi, I'm in a relationship that looks like it's heterosexual, I don't feel like I can go that, or I don't feel like I'm dressed right, I don't feel like I look right, I don't feel like that's for me. And I think, you know, when the idea of performing queerness is kind of exacerbated when you are in a hetero-seeming relationship because, you know, you feel like you have to, like, almost make up for it, like, justify it. And I remember that we've talked to people before, like, you know, that kind of the idea of feeling, like, ashamed with your, when you're in it, when people take you for heterosexual, you're just like, oh, people won't be able to tell. I can't tell my queer friends about this. They, you know, they'll think I'm, like, gloating or whatever because I'm not dealing with the shit that they're dealing with, when in actual fact we're dealing with it in that moment of having to worry about dealing with it.
Yeah, we're dealing with a double exclusion. And it's interesting that you bring up queer spaces because when I asked my participants about experiences of exclusion within the broader LGBTI plus community, majority of them came from queer spaces.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is really upsetting.
Right. And it's upsetting in a way because it reminds me when I first came out in a queer space and I got a very obvious and a very obvious biphobic response, which was directed to me. And I was kind of thrown because I was very aware of the queer space I was in, and I thought, this is where I can say this.
Yeah.
It was just like, and it, unfortunately, it happens quite a lot.
And that's what other research has shown is that even though, you know, heterosexual people are still more discriminatory, it hurts more when it's from right. inside of the LGBTQI plus space, because we're kind of, you know, we're in the acronym, we think that this is somewhere we can go. But I think it's interesting because exclusion, or having, like, you know, this idea of performing your queerness is not new. I was at the Leaps and Bounds festival. Mama Alto did a showcase for Music Beyond the Binary at Hares and Hyenas, and I was sitting next to this wonderful old man who was, like, dressed all in Marvel and DC fan gear. So we were talking about that. But he was talking about how, you know, 43 years ago, he was, like, being told he wasn't gay enough to go to the gay clubs. He's like, my boyfriend's in there. Like, what do you want me to do? But a lot of the time, that apparently came from this fear of police stinging and all. But I think as well, it comes from that idea of that frustration. Well, you're not being visible enough, so you're not risking enough, so you don't get to come to the party.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. That these are all just theories, because we don't really have a lot of... We haven't really had time to look into the philosophies behind our own lateral violences, because we've been trying to present a very united front against some pretty real threats.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, and that's definitely a theme that's risen in my research. And it always comes back to intersectional identities, I suppose, though, because gender performativity and gender identity, and maybe more so gendered appearance, is separate to sexuality.
Yes.
And I don't think anyone's arguing that gender diverse people have it harder than cis people, clearly.
Right.
Especially when you are visibly gender queer to some degree.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you were saying, Ruby, it's all about that lateral violence. I feel like instead of banding together and trying to support each other, it can sometimes be the case that the queer community is eating itself and trying to create hierarchies. And
which happens, because I think it's similar to when you think about it, it was only recently that mental health was a public discourse.
Yes.
And so, you know, we can actually address mental health issues.
Mm.
When you compound that with internalized shame and then previously just criminalization, people did not have ways they could go and actually have healthy ways of dealing with their own trauma.
Yes.
And growing up in the world as, you know, queer or gender, like, you know, anyone who does not fit into a cis hetero binary system it is for them too, as far as I'm concerned. It's a traumatic experience. And so I think, you know, we're actually trying to now find the languages to deal with all this, because we've been able to catch our breath a little.
Yes.
Though that, even as you say that, the Liberal Party in Queensland is just hiking it all up again, and just, like, you know, there's always a new fight. So we actually just have to stop putting it off and start to talk about how we talk with each other and what we do to each other. Domestic violence is a huge issue in our community.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that affects white people a lot, because what's perpetuated by cis men. And also, you know, the gender diverse and bi communities are cross. I think the Trans Pathway Survey said, 45 to 50% of people identify as, you know, trans or gender diverse are pan or bi.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know,
And the performance of your gender or sexuality, I wonder about, I mean, because we have these stereotypes that give people some, what I call, some handlebars to hang on to at least try and sort of find your way through as you're learning about your developing identity, as you're sort of coming to understand it. But for bi people, I think that, you know, that there's this thing about, am I dressing queer enough? Is my hair queer enough?
Totally.
I just sort of start getting a bit swishy when I walk down the street. That sort of helps. Especially
sachet,
yeah. Especially in very middle-class, white, straight areas. I like to be a bit swishy.
Mm-hmm. But no, that's totally... It makes a lot of sense, because the biggest theme that reoccurs in the research is that a bi identity is an invisible identity.
Erasure.
It's an erased identity, and it's an invalidated identity. So it makes sense that the community wants to push back and be visible and be out and loud. And why not? Of course. That's what we need to do.
It's true, but I suppose, you know, we haven't really had a whole lot of role models in that either. So, you know, what does a bi person look like? Right now, Rosa Diaz.
Oh, yeah. Bless.
Praise. And Darren Whitefeather. But, you know, that's kind of it.
And so, Margaret Cho.
Margaret Cho. But all these actors who are bi but whose identities are also erased. Freddie Mercury. Like, right. You know, there's this whole, I think, identity there as well, and that kind of crisis of self. And also the lack of access to community, because if you don't have access to these spaces, you don't get to listen to the conversations about where we came from, what we've gone through. And those are the things that actually solidify you and make, you know, which I know only because I accessed them like a year, 2 years ago when the show started.
Right.
And actually felt that my identity was something worth researching, and then found out that it was, you know, by magazines and by organisations since the 80s. And that, you know, how can people say we weren't here when we literally had buildings, you know?
Yeah.
And the Bible.
Oh, my God. Notes for Bisexual Revolution, which has turned me into a raging bisexual revolutionist, and it's brilliant. By the way, if I did say anything that has been upsetting for you, the listener, you can always call Drummond Street Services, which are doing an LGBTI plus sensitive family violence programs. That's 03-9663-6733. You can also call 000 at the moment if you feel like you are in trouble.
Yes, and we're talking to Mary Glasgow from a local university here in Victoria, who is doing some bi research, qualitative research, talking to fabulous bisexuals.
That's right, and we're going to be going to a song I've had to pull from my phone. This is actually going to be playing. I'm going to play this because of our previous discussions around Two Spirit at the very beginning of the show, when Anthony and I raced through the bi news, and James Mraz was talking about, hey, I realised he was bi, and then he misused a very cultural term, which is Two Spirit. We did to speak to a Two Spirit artist before Shawnee, so I'm going to play her song, Warrior Heart. This one's for you, Mary, and for you, listener.
Young blood. Your
You're listening to the Bisexuality Program on Joy 94.9. That was Shawnee's song, Warrior Heart, which is a dear favourite of mine. Shawnee is a two-spirit artist from Canada. We did have on the show almost a year ago.
Yes.
If you want to find that out, you can check out the podcast at joy.org.au/triplebypass. Also available on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review and tell your friends because we don't pay for advertising. Anyway. My name's Ruby.
Yes, I'm Anthony.
We're joined by Mary Glascott, who is a young academic who's been doing some research into bi people and their senses of belonging, where they've felt like they've belonged and where that has been made clear that they're not, and what how that and she's looking at making that research into a educational tool, really, to kind of help organisations and community spaces develop more bi-inclusive practices, which is so good.
And Mary, just before we go back to you, we've received an SMS from John. It says, "Hey folks, loving the show. Can't wait to see your research, Mary. I wanted to point something out as an expat Canadian Indigenous people. Sorry, expat Canadian Indigenous people in Canada are First Nations,
Inuit or Métis, not Native American. Thank you so much, John.
Thanks
That's
for
really
that, John.
Yeah. So she was a Canadian Mohawk First Nations person." Thank you. That's really good to know. I do my sincere apologies for that. I got a bit mixed up because when I was living in Mexico, they're like, we're all American because like America was the continent, but that's...
Right.
Yeah.
No, continents. John, great. Yeah. Thank you for sending that through.
You're the best. So we're back to your research. One of the things that you mentioned was particularly by people who are in relationships that seem heterosexual and your own experience with that, with your partner... which we have in the studio now. Hey, partner of Mary.
Hi, thank you for having me as well.
It's really good. We haven't had a straight in the studio for ages.
No, this is pretty exciting.
I'm happy to be the straight representation.
You're the token straight. Really nice. Token straight.
Perfect. We're straights are very underrepresented.
So in here you are. In here you are.
Yeah, it's true. You're the minority. Interesting.
Finally.
Look, to voice societal barriers... Yeah, props. So Mary, you mentioned that it was coming out with a guy that really kind of made you aware of how quick the community could kind of turn their backs once that was coming about. So what has it been like with for you? Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Luke. I'm Mary's partner of a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually the first guy that Mary had been with.
Quick correction, I dated a trans guy before you.
Thank you. So it was interesting. I know that like when we were getting together, there was conversations about the biphobia in the community and that being a big fear for Mary. And so being, you know, trying to throw in my, you know, wave the flag as an ally and be a part of that conversation was really interesting. And it's been, you know, I've felt really privileged to be a part of it.
Aww.
Can I ask, as the cis straight male partner to your bi partner, what's it like for you to look? Because you know, Mary, you know, when we grow up, sort of, and we learn about our bisexuality identity, we cling to things and information and knowledge and sources that help us to develop our thinking and our connection to our identity. So we become very skilled at sort of learning about language of inclusion. And I'm just wondering, what's it been like for you? You're into this relationship 12 months in. How are you going on all the tests? The language, getting it right.
You're not just dating a bi, you're dating an academic bisexual.
Absolutely. The bar is very high.
Discourse is real.
Yeah. I think that's almost one for Mary. How am I going on this language?
Good answer.
I feel like I'm learning, which is, and it's a big... it's a big space and there's a lot to learn for me, so, and I'm loving it, so.
Okay, one question for you.
No, Mary,
sorry,
please.
I'm sorry, Mary.
Oh, he's passing with bi colours, I would say. No.
I like that.
Luke is like the ideal non-queer partner to have. He's really open-minded. He's not one to be defensive. If he slips up, he'll kind of stop and correct himself a lot. And, you know, we're from a very liberal part of Melbourne. Liberal, not in the Australian sense.
Progressive.
We're in a very progressive part of Melbourne, so we have a lot of friends who are in the community. So, yeah, he's been great. I don't think I could date someone who wasn't yeah, well, level, to be honest.
Well, apparently Margaret Cho has. So, you know, do you have an older brother in the States?
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Because, I think it's so much, it's easier, I think, to embrace your identity when the people who you care about do the same thing. So that's really good to hear.
Sorry to do this unexpectedly, but Bi Visibility Day is when...
Oh, that's... I couldn't tell you.
I don't even know that, so you're fine.
Oh, my visibility day was invisible to me, and I'm so sorry.
Okay. Podcaster, we need to edit that bit out.
It's in 2 months. You've got time. It's in September.
I can't wait for the most lit present from you.
Nice.
And, and it's also the one day where we can't rob banks, so that's always a bummer. So we have to just like, oh, but I can order coffee, and I've been holding out. Like, oh, my God. So exciting. Look, we've actually got some more time because I was just getting some eye signals here.
No.
And Mary, so you're looking at, you mentioned before when we got a text in that the research will be coming out early next year because you're doing all the transcribing and stuff yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you have any help on that? Do you outsource?
No. So we didn't go through the traditional route. Like usually in research you get funding, you apply through a university body. There was no issue there, but I kind of didn't want to deal with all the yellow tape doing that. I just wanted to do it myself. I'm on a working gap year at the moment. I'm not currently studying, so I have the free time. I wanted to jump into it straight away. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just do it myself.
Fantastic.
I'm a bit of a workaholic, so I kind of wanted to give myself a lot of work to do.
I love that you're researching in your spare time. Honestly, most of the bisexual academics, like people who are researching bisexuality, are bisexual people. There are some exceptions, but...
Yes, and in all fairness, there are no real sort of formal and visible bi positions in the community service sector or anywhere else, really. So us bi folk, and including the people at BAV and the Melbourne Bisexual Network and researchers as yourself, we kind of have to do this in our spare time as volunteers.
There's a lot of that. I think I spend most evenings volunteering, whether if it's just running the Facebook space or... Yeah. Which, you know...
You have increased your hours of sleep a night. You're now getting 3 hours of sleep a night. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I know. I felt like 2 was like a good number because it's like the bi hour. But, you know, like... But it is interesting because I think once you kind of get a glimpse... And obviously, Mary, you felt it too. Once you kind of get a glimpse of just the need there is for better practice and the difference it could make, it's very hard to turn away from that, I think.
Oh, of course. And it's a really good opportunity to engage with the community because, you know...
Yeah, networking.
Oh, for sure. And for a lot of people like myself, you know, it is through this research stuff and volunteering experiences that I actually get to be with my community, which I think is good.
I can confirm. So... joining Joy was, like, I literally joined Joy, like, because I was frustrated because there was no bi people there. Mm. But also, I was not part of the LGBTIQA community. I did not feel part of that. My brother was gay, and I felt like that kind of was, like, I knew what being queer was, and I wasn't that. And it wasn't until we started the show almost exactly 2 years ago now.
Our birthday is coming up.
That, and it was the same for Anthony, myself, and for the other original host, that none of us had ever sat in a room with just bi people and just talked about bi things.
Mm.
And that's happened every time we've set up a new space. When Anthony set up the Melbourne Bisexual Network, we went there was like 6 or 7 of us, first time for all of us to sit around and talk about bisexual things.
Yeah.
Just and to know that and to see each other.
Mm.
And Women's Health Conference that I just spoke at, the same thing, panel, looking around, a woman got up there and she goes, "I've never seen this before. I've never had people talk about my experiences like that before."
Right, you're seeing this on the Facebook groups you've created and the social groups that you hold once a month here in Melbourne?
Yeah. And, like, you know, I think I was mentioning to Andy, who is a gay man who set up Triple Bypass, you know, we had 27 people. He's like, "I can't imagine there being that many bisexuals." I'm like, the fact that you can't imagine that and that it is a big deal says something, doesn't it? Because you can imagine that for gay men in a second. That's the peel.
Of course.
That's one room of, that's half the room of the peel. Right. That's the line to the bathroom,
that's like
in the peel.
Cubicle 3 at the peel.
And so it is that kind of sense of just like, just the lack of visibility. Yeah. But once you kind of hold up a lantern, people are very quick to say, "Yes, I really would actually, I didn't know it was like this." By the way, since you put it out there, there are Facebook communities. So there's Melbourne, the Bi Plus Community of Melbourne, which does monthly hangouts. We're doing a board game event on Friday. If anyone wants to join, jump to the Facebook page, all the details are there. and the MBN committee meeting soon too, so you can find out about that.
Yes, Melbourne Bisexual Network. We meet on the last Monday of each month. Go to melbournebisexualnetwork.com.
And tonight's also the bi discussion group, which James has been, which is why he's not here, which James has been running for almost 15 years.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, and so that's monthly. So there are these things. It's just hard to find them, but they are there. And people will be so excited to meet you and who will know what you're talking about and who will know what you've gone through because your deaf's not alone. That was to you, listener.
So, Mary, thank you. And Luke, thank you for coming onto the show. Thank you so much for introducing your research to us. And
we're going to be chasing you down for that.
Yes, please come back and let us know when the findings are out and the report's written and you can tell us more about it.
I would love to. Thanks for having me,
Excellent.
Guys.
Now, we're going to head out with your final song, which was Te Amo by Rihanna, which is pretty bi. I'm not sure if Rihanna's come out yet, but it would just cement my adoration for that woman. Tune in next week for more Triple Bypass on the show, but stay tuned for Local Roots coming after this with Jason bringing you some classic new Aussie music. This is actually a Splendor FOMO special recap. So if you missed out on Splendor in the Grass, we got you covered. You're on Triple Bypass, and this has been Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.